If you have your Bible this morning, I invite you to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. We have been looking at the conversion of Naaman. We began to build a series of messages as we began last week concerning the conversion of this man, this great man of valor, this great man of honor. He was a captain of the Syrian host, but we found his problem that he was a leper. But the wonderful thing is that we saw that God not only cured him, that God not only cleansed him, but you'll find that God converted him in his heart as well. And Naaman was saved. As I look at this and as I study it, the wonderful and remarkable thing was that God was the one that cured him, God was the one that cleansed him, converted him, but we find that God used people to bring this man to his conversion. And that's the wonderful thing as I study the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 and look at this story. I'm going to read the first three verses this morning. I'm going to speak to you concerning another character in this story, and she's the little maid that is mentioned in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. And I look at the little maid, and what God presses on my heart is the sower of the Word. She sowed the Word. God took that Word and used it in a mighty way. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And you'll notice in the scripture that leprosy, of course, is a type of sin. May I begin saying this morning that there's nothing too great that God cannot heal. There's no soul that's too deep in sin that God cannot save. I realize that man can go to the depths of sin, but God's grace and power can reach down and save that individual. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I believe, 1:15, that Paul said that this was a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of who He was chief. To put it in plain country words, Paul said, I'm the worstest of the worstest. But God worked a miracle in my life. He can do it in yours also. Man doesn't get too wicked for God not to save. But we find in verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now as we note, the Syrians had gone out into the land of Israel, and they had captured a little maiden, no doubt to make money from her life, as Joel chapter 3 would state to us, as they did often by these countries going out and capturing these maidens or other people to make money from them. Now she came from Israel, and may I say that she came from a wicked time. Because if you'll note, she came in the time of King Ahab and Jezebel's reign. And you know that the Bible tells us great things about them, doesn't they? And they're all evil things. And she lived in a terrible place. Really, Israel, in a time of wickedness in that state. But you know what? She had a faithful testimony for the Lord. She had faith in the Lord, and she lived for the Lord even in that evil time. We today many times have evil leaders, don't we? Oh my. But you know what? We still can live for the Lord even in our day that we do. And not only that, we find that she was brought to a wicked place. Syria, Assyria. And in that place, they knew not God. In that place, they serve idols. But she still was living for the Lord, even in that place. Now, as we pause here, I want to note concerning this place. There is no place that God cannot work. I want to say that again. There is no place God cannot work. Whether that place be wicked and immoral, God can work in it. whether that place be good as we look today, even in a church or a house of God, God can work in that place. And as we note here in this text, God shows that of His power. You know, I once heard a message Brother Junior Hill preached, and I have it on tape in my study. And the title of the message is this, The Fallacy of Bigness. You know, today we've come and our mindset on is bigness. But you know what? There's no such thing as big and little with God. Oftentimes we describe churches as big and little. There's no such thing with God. There's no big church or little church. It's His church. Whether that congregation may have many or may be small in number, that's still God's church. And folk today, even in the smallest of places, God can work. I remember a time a pastor invited us or was going to invite us to conduct a revival. And his statement with me was, are you willing to come to a small place, a congregation as we are, and preach? My goodness. Whether it's one or two, we ought to be willing to preach the gospel. And even in a little place of one or two, God can work. I'm reminded of what He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised. God has chosen, yea, in the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And He says on that no flesh should glory in His sight. You know, many times we get the idea, God cannot work in this place. I bring our revival at this time to our thought. We might say, God cannot bring a revival to this place. We're too small. But folk, I want to tell you, God can bring a revival to this place. He can. He can send it. God sent the conversion of Naaman to such a wicked place. And yea, even to maybe a small house with this small maiden today. God can work in difficult places. There is nothing too hard for God. So may we not have the mindset that God cannot work in such a place. And then I look at something else in this text. I look at the little maid, the person. As I look at her life, she's a slave, literally a slave, and she waits on her captor's wife, Naaman's wife. But you know what? She had great faith. She did. She had the spirit of great faith. Would to God that God in that prophet would touch the life of this leper, my captor. What faith she had. I thought of Matthew 17 that the Bible says, little faith placed in the hand of God is able to move mountains. Here the mountain was Naaman. It seemed like incurable, terminal. But little faith, placed in the hand of God, wrought a miracle in his life. And then I see her compassion. She had compassion on her master, even though she was slave unto him. By the compassion that she showed. Think of what Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now you look at that thought. Here she is. She doesn't approve of what Naaman has done to her. She's in his room, in his household, being treated as a slave. But he has a need that needs to be cured of his leprosy. We live in many times places of people around us. We don't approve of their evil deeds. Yea, we don't approve of their evil actions. But we're to love and have compassion on their need. And their need is to be saved. Amen. We don't approve of what they do. We don't boast in their sinfulness. But we have a compassion, a love that wants them to be saved. Here's a little maid that showed great compassion in her life. And I look, and as I studied this, I saw the providence of God so much in this text. How God brought about the conversion of Naaman. That little maid in that place was no accident. That was no accident in the healing of Naaman. God has brought us each year for such a time as this. And it's no accident that we're placed in this place this morning. He has brought us all here for a reason. That reason is His in mind, and that reason is His purpose. And as I look at the statement this morning, I find this wonderful statement that she makes in her life. She said this, "Would God my Lord were with that prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And as I look at her sowing this word that she sowed, God took and God used it to bring Naaman to the cure of his leprosy and the conversion of his soul. And there's two things that I want you to note in that word that she said. First of all, let me just say this morning before I even begin, it's important to pray for the man of God. It's important to pray for the man of God. Would to God that my Lord was with that prophet. Pray for God's man. Paul said in the book, I believe, of 1 Thessalonians, pray for us that the Word of God may have free course as it works in the lives of those who listen. My, this morning, folk, listen. Praying for the man of God is important. Praying for the preacher is important as he stands to share God's Word. But I want to begin this morning with her burden. Would to God my God was with that prophet that is in Samaria. She possessed a burden. And as I began to study about that word burden, I looked it up in the dictionary. And here's what Webster describes a burden as. A burden is something that is carried. Something that is carried. She was carrying a burden in her heart. My, this morning, folk, I believe I should carry a burden in my heart. Many times I carry a burden for a message. I may carry it 2 or 3 weeks or so, but there's a burden of that message. I think about the prophet Habakkuk, and one of the statements that is used in Habakkuk is the burden of Habakkuk. It means a burden that he carried in his heart, the message that he had in his heart. And this morning, this little lady, this little maid, had a burden that she was carrying. Last week, we looked at Hannah. And as I look in 1 Samuel, Hannah, as she was looking and desiring a child, and she was carrying a weight, she was carrying a burden of not having that child. And that burden was even being expressed in her physical life because people could see that there was something wrong with Hannah. And what was it? It was that secret burden that she was carrying in her heart, and that was for a child. God carried and lifted that burden, as we know. But as we look today, the burden that we have, I think of Jesus, if you turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9, and as you look at this burden, there's two things that stand out in her life. It was what she saw and what she knew. What she saw was this. She saw the leprosy of Naaman day in and day out. What it was doing to him physically in his life. And Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." As we look today, our Lord, as He lived on this earth,
carried a burden. He carried a burden. What was that burden? It was for the souls of mankind. He carried that weight that He desired to see them come and be a part of what Brother Ron talked about in his devotional. Coming to be a part of God and what He had experienced in God Himself. And so Jesus Himself carried a burden. My, we look today on the condition of mankind. I should have a burden this morning, Brother Leland, as I look on souls. I should have a burden because I know, as that little maid knew, what was happening to Naaman, his leprosy. We know this morning, or should know, as a child of God, what sin can do to mankind. What sin can do in this life. But folk, you listen, if they trust not Jesus as their Savior, they're going to a place where the Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're going to a place that is terrible. They're going to a place that is called hell. And those who die outside of Jesus, our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors that die outside of Jesus are going to that place. And it should burden my heart. It should weigh my heart that I know that they're going to that place. Today we talk about revival. We talk about having revival. I say to you this morning, there can be no revival and there will be no true revival until, first of all, there's a burden. There's a burden in our hearts that we see the need of revival. I believe with all my heart today, that's why many churches do not experience revival. They come and meet. They leave, meet. They hear the Word of God. But there's no really burden for desire. The weight that they see and a need for really having revival. I look at America today, and I look at America and her condition, and we look around. Folk, you've just got to say this today, and I'll probably make your day by saying this. We see today that there's really no concern. We look at the moral condition of our society. We look at where we're going in our nation, and people are not too concerned. Amen. They're not too concerned about it. And you look today at the condition of our churches, empty pews, no desire. And folk, really, in reality, God's people are not too concerned about it today. We don't carry a burden. It's not expressed in our hearts and lives. Remember the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says this, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, what's he say? There's a burden in our hearts. I remember what is expressed in the great Charles Spurgeon. That one time he was to stand in the metropolitan pulpit and preach, but he wasn't there. The 11 o'clock hour came and he wasn't there. And the men of the church began to wonder. Thousands waited on him to preach. And they tried to find him. And you know where they found him? They found him down in the boiler room. You know what he was? On his knees, praying for souls. You say, Brother Danny, what was it? It was a burden that he was carrying in his heart for the souls of mankind. Oh God, give me the burden of this little maiden. This little maiden said, would to God that my Lord would be with that prophet that is in Samaria. He could cure Laban. He can cure Naaman of his leprosy. Oh, would to God that I would have such a burden today to carry in our lives. So we find today, folk, listen, she had a burden. Why? Because of what she saw in the life of her master and where she was living. But not only that, she also had a burden of what she knew. Of what she knew. She knew the truth that if Elisha was to come and he met Elisha, that Elisha had the power to cure him of his leprosy. Folk, you listen this morning. We have the truth. We have the truth that can free men of their sins and give them a life in Christ Jesus. And that truth, God help us to burden us, that we'll want to share it. Even in this little maid, as she shared the truth that would cure Naaman of his leprosy. I think of what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9. we're laborers together with God. Isn't that wonderful? You study the book of 2 Kings. You find this little maid. You find the man that heard what she said. You find the servants that took Naaman to the household of Elisha. And you find Elisha the prophet. God did the cleansing. But I want to tell you something, folks. God used people to bring Naaman to His cleansing. And folk, you listen. Same is today. God is using His people, His church, to share that gospel and to share the news of what God can do. By her burden that she had for this man. But I want to tell you something else today. Her blessing. Her blessing. You say, Brother Danny, what do you mean? Turn to verse 14. Her blessing. She received a blessing, but her words blessed others. The Bible says in verse 14, then Naaman, as we studied last week, went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Now, folk, we saw it was in the obedience, perfect obedience of Naaman when he obeyed God's word as he went down and dipped in the Jordan River to cleanse him of his leprosy. Dipping in that Jordan did not cure Naaman's heart, but it cured him of his leprosy. God had to come into his heart through repentance and faith in God. But as you note here, the Bible says he was cured. Now, can't you imagine, can you just imagine the joy in Naaman's house? Can you imagine the joy? When here is Naaman, he comes back, he is cleansed, and yea, he even changes gods, the God of Israel, the God of heaven. I thought about studying in that these past few weeks, and I studied about that old song, that old hymn. There's joy in the camp when a sinner comes home. Amen? Now you say, Brother Danny, you're getting out of the Baptist realm. Well, you can call me Baptist, you can call me anything you want. But brother, there's joy in the camp when a sinner comes home to God. And when there's not joy, there's something wrong in the camp. There's something wrong in the camp. When we can come and we can see God's work and it doesn't bless our souls to the time that we can come and shout and cry for the cleansing of that soul. You know, I think about revivals. And I've been in revivals that when people came, obeyed God, and professed Christ as their Savior. And I've seen men cry. I've seen women shout. I've seen them cry till the women's makeup would run down on their face. And they didn't worry about it. Amen. You know why? They were happy. They were happy in the Lord. We need some of that joy today. Amen. She was blessed, no doubt. And even though she might have not even thought about it, her little word, would to God my Lord, was with that prophet that is in Samaria, started all of this. We never know what a little word might do in God's hand. We never know what putting that little brochure up in a store, leaving it on the door, inviting someone, folk, you listen, a little word in the hand of God is a mighty thing. She was blessed, and his household was blessed. I remember when my dad was saved. I wasn't saved. I was just a boy in high school. But I remember when my dad was saved. Brother, I want to tell you something. It blessed my household. There was changes in that household. Joy in my house. But I want to tell you something else. Not only was there personal joy, there was public joy around. But I looked at that and I thought, I wonder how many times this text has been used in sharing it to mankind. How many preachers over the years from since this happened has God taken this message and He's brought about the conversion of souls? I've preached it many times in my own ministry. It's a text you love to use. But look how God's taken it and God's blessed it. Blessed His Word. But it all started with the statement this little maid made in that place. And God used it to bring a conversion of a man. All today, folk, listen. We think it's too small. We think it's too little. But you remember, there is no place too hard for God to work. Place no small too hard for God to work. I think many times in many of our lives we convince ourselves nothing is going to happen. But you remember, we are laborers together with God. We just sow the seed. It's God that takes the seed and uses it to accomplish whatever He purposes. All this morning, if you're here, I want you to know you're not too hard for God to forgive and to save. Not too hard. You say, I've gone past the point. What point is that? Listen. If God's touched your heart and God's working with that heart, He brings repentance in your life and He brings faith, which Brother Ron said are gifts of God. They truly are. But if you'll receive that in your heart, I believe God will work a work in your life. And today, folk, in our lives that are around us, I hope you pray for me this morning that God would give me a greater burden in my heart that, listen, for those around me that are perishing without Jesus. And you know, pardon me this morning, listen, when we really get that burden, and that burden becomes hard, and that burden becomes so weighty, but we'll want to carry it to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, when we really get the wanting revival, when we really want to get the revival, folks, we'll hit our knees and begin to ask God for revival. And I know this is the 4th of July, and I know that this is the, as we note, the nation that we're celebrating, our independence, and how great we are. But I say this morning, if America really wants change, if she really wants change, brother, she'll get a burden that will put her on her knees and want to go back to God. Oh, help us not. Help us not to have a burden, because you know what today? The opposite of a burden is apathy. Apathy. That we just don't care. We just don't care. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and we were talking about the pressures of the minister today. And we were talking, and we were saying, you know, if I just didn't care, I guess I could go on and I could see empty pews, see things not happening, and it wouldn't bother me at all. But I've never been that way. I've never been that way. It bothers me. It burdens me. Oh, today, God help me to care. I thought of the words of the psalmist which said, I looked on my right hand, I looked on my left hand. No man cared for my soul. The opposite of a burden is apathy. Lord, help us not to get to that place that we're not burdened enough that we'll not send our prayers up to heaven. So this morning, this little maid,
that you just made a statement, but you look how God began to send it. And you look how God began to use it. And you'll be blessed as you read this wonderful story. If you're here today, would to God you would be saved. Oh, today, would to God that He'd send revival in our land. Amen. That He would send revival in our land, in our lives today. I ask you to stand. Father, I thank You today for just the opportunity to be in this place. And I thank You today for blessing my heart as we've been in this place. And Lord, just see our hearts and thoughts in around Your Word. And Lord, today we believe that the people here desire revival. That burden, Lord, we pray that You begin to weight our hearts down. Weight our hearts down as we see the need around us and in this place. And God, that we, as so-called, put legs on that burden, that we reach out to others. We even pray for the men that are going to come and stand and preach Your Word as this little maiden prayed for her prophet. Lord, today, there's a soul here, Lord, that has become concerned. And Lord, over their eternal destination, work in that life, work in that heart. But, oh Lord, may we see Your blessings as this little maiden was blessed in her life and testimony for You. I just thank You for Your presence in my life today. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.